This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Welcome back, Anthony Gallo. As always, I got you till 5 a.m. It's tournament time. You know, we've been talking a lot of Johnnies today, and I had to bring on someone who I'm a big fan of. I'm very excited to talk to. I like to call him, you know, especially for my generation, the voice of college basketball, John Fanta, Fox Sports, NBC, broadcaster, reporter. He does it all. He's the man. What's going on, John? How are you?
Anthony, I'm doing well. Thanks so much. The madness is here. And in New York City, there's a feeling for March Madness
yes.
at Manhattan that the concrete jungle hasn't had in quite some time. St. John's has real Final Four hopes.
Yes. And before we get into just like St. John's, you know, I saw you there. It was a crazy weekend. I haven't seen a Big East tournament with that much buzz around it. You know, not just from the media, but from the fans, all of it. How special was this weekend at the Garden?
It was not a body experience. I mean, MSG sounded like a Knicks playoff game, but just a different roar. A roar of when the Knicks started to get good again, Anthony, and the building was really filling up in that hunger. You could feel the hunger in the roar. You could feel it from Red Storm fans. Almost a roar of disbelief that this is all happening so soon into the Rick Pitino era. You're talking about a 72-year-old who is like a 45-year-old,
yeah.
you know, in his body. His energy, relentless. I think he could win on Jupiter or Mars. He could find a way to run a college basketball program on a different planet, and he would win. And the way that St. John's defends and rebounds and just grinds it out, Anthony, it's not a work of art. But guess what? Is that New York City? New York City is a roll-up-your-sleeves town. It is. The
it
people
really
that are
is.
Listening to the show at this time, they're the ones who are busting their tails. And I think that's why St. John's is so easy to rally around. They just outwill you. They take your manhood as the game goes on. As one coach told me, they make you uncomfortable offensively with the way they guard. They take you out of what you want to run. And then eventually it's like lightning hits and they start to score it. RJ Lewis can break you down off the dribble. Kadari Richmond's a Brooklyn boy who has that game. Zubi Ejiofor is one of the best offensive rebounders in the country. This team does not relent.
Right. I mean, as a St. John's alum, it was certainly an out-of-body experience. And even before I went there, you know, I've been a diehard fan my whole life. And for you to point out the defensive thing, their biggest highlight of the year was that defensive stop against Marquette earlier in the year, you know, and it's rotated the internet. And now you saw it this weekend where against Creighton, when they battled back, they had just taken a lead. And the crowd, like a Knicks game, everyone was on their feet. It was awesome, you know, being there for the final. I was there all weekend. And they all got on their feet, and they've really bought into it. And what we fell in love with the Knicks team last year and the year before that is kind of what we're falling in love 10 times now with St. John's. And you're someone who's been there. I mentioned you off air. You've been a great voice, not just for college basketball, but specifically the Big East, which went through a few transitional years after teams left, and they were trying to rebuild the conference. How special has it been to see, and this, a lot of credit goes to Dan Hurley as well, but just focusing on St. John's, how awesome has it been to see the resurgence of the Big East and the resurgence of St. John's being around the team as much as you are?
Well, I think that it's huge for college basketball because the Big East is a basketball league, Anthony. While the SEC and the Big Ten and the Big 12 and the ACC are going to have their football Saturdays, and they're also going to couple that with basketball game days, the Big East, this is all these people have, is what happens on the hardwood. This is their SEC football. That's the passion of these fan bases. It does mean more to these people. A lot of conference tournaments, you win them and it's like, yay, that's great, but we're going to the NCAA tournament. No, no, no. Jim Calhoun always said winning the Big East tournament is being the best in your neighborhood. There's a pride factor there. There's a bragging rights factor there. Greg McDermott wasn't thinking about the NCAA tournament when he went down to St. John's. He was thinking, I'm 0-5 in the Big East tournament championship game. Out of 11 Big East tournaments that my program's been in, I've been in the final five times and I can't get over the hump. I want to shed that demon. I think that this league, it's got a throwback feel in 2025. And it's like Cheers. Everybody knows your name. There's a special vibe when you sit down in the Garden for the Big East tournament that takes you back to the days of Louie and Big John and Rolly and Boeheim and all the classic figures. And you know what's so cool about this? One of those classic figures is Rick Pitino. And he's still doing it at his age, and he's still doing it. And not only is he still doing it, he's not going anywhere. This shows the power. What he has done is he has rebuilt the skyscraper in New York and shown what happens when St. John's is cooking. They become an additional pro team in New York.
They really have.
Sports now, these are pros. You're getting paid. You know, it's the student athlete thing, it's out the window. You know, they're getting paid. They're generating big time money at the box office at the Garden. I think it's a really unique sports story. And during a time of year where we're before the NBA playoffs and we're just before baseball, I think, Anthony, like, there's still a desire and a hunger. Nothing beats March Madness, but now you couple it with the New York team doing it, it's making headlines nationwide. It's awesome to see.
Right, and I'm 33, so, like, much like yourself, I didn't live through the really great St. John's teams. Like, I vaguely remember Ron Artest's year. You know, I kind of became a fan with LeVar Postel and those teams, all of those, you know, when we were younger. So this is really, it's something I never thought they'd get back to doing. And before we get to the actual on-court stuff, you mentioned it with, you know, baseball's around the corner, you know, the NBA playoffs and the NHL playoffs are around the corner, NFL free agency just happened. And the number one thing on everyone's mind right now is St. John's. And it's because of Rick. How big can you see, not just this year, but I know we only have Ricky, you know, he's an older guy. Like, we can't expect him to be here for two decades. How big can you see this getting under Rick Pitino over the next, you know, 3-4 years?
Well, let me paint this optimistic picture here. What I meant when I said he's rebuilt the skyscraper, Anthony, this job didn't have the value that it does now. Whoever is next, because there's always a next, and it's just how our world works, whenever that is, 3, 4, 5 years from now, the way that the job is perceived by candidates and by other people then versus what it was 2 years ago, couldn't be a greater 180. Because if I'm a candidate, I see what happens if I win. Look, they're not going to have the personality of Pitino. But, Anthony, you of all people know, if you win in New York, they don't care what your personality is. You win.
You're right.
Look at the. Do you know how many people would kill for a Giants head coach who was dull, but they won?
Right.
They don't care. They just want to win football games. They want to win. Same thing could be said with the Jets. Like, you know, it's Bill Belichick was all-time boring. They don't care. All he did was win Lombardis.
Right.
Like, for Rick, Rick's the total package. Rick's the total package. Where can this go? They could be steadily top 10 every year. I'm going to put them in my preseason top 10 next year. I'm not doubting this guy. They're going to get marquee games in the Garden. This is just beginning. You know, Rick told me over the weekend, he goes, we built the foundation. Now we're going to soar.
Man, and you know, when you got me geeked up right now. I'll just let you know that much. I'm smiling. I'm very excited about all of this.
You should be. To me, what is the, in a world where we're often looking at the downside? If I'm a St. John's fan, and I'll be honest with you, I have a I'm a 2017 graduate of Seton Hall.
Yes.
And I think that, and I think St. John's success only helps lift all tides. You know, I think a Seton Hall's right now looking in the mirror and they're saying, all right, how do we raise our NIL? All right, we're going to do it. A Rutgers is reevaluating where they're at. They'll be back. You know, the Harper Bailey thing did not pan out.
But Pyko's done a great job over there, and I love Sheen Holloway, so I hope that.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. And I think he's a really good coach, and I think Sheen is too. To me, St. John's is in a position to be consistently winning, because are you really ever going to doubt this guy? And he's got Mike Rapoli to spearhead his NIL. He's got elite talent at the top of his roster. They have real upside to be in a window here where they're going to be, you know, a perennial contender.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Which is crazy, because when you think about it, I remember the day, you know, I used to work with Mike Francesa, and we were sitting there. The season was getting to a point where they're in the middle of the recruiting season and they hadn't found a coach yet because no one wanted the job. And, you know, that's when Coach Anderson came along, who I'm very, like, fascinated. I think he was a great guy. I thought he was a good coach that just didn't have maybe the support that Pitino has. But now for you to say that, that's very exciting, where they can be a destination. And we had Pitino on a few weeks ago with Brandon Tierney and Sal Licata, and he said the same thing. He goes, his goal is to make St. John's a destination. And like you're saying, he's doing that right now. But to get to the on-court stuff, starting with the actual players, you know, we saw Zubi Ejiofor have a great tournament, and I thought really picked up a lot of the slack in the semis, and, you know, which was a major game for him, and was able to battle with a very tough opponent in Kolkbrenner. Out of RJ Lewis, Kadari Richmond, Zubi Ejiofor, maybe somebody else I'm not naming, who do you think plays the most important role in this next phase in the NCAA tournament?
You know what? I'm actually going to go with Kadari Richmond, because I think his composure on both ends of the floor sets the tone for the team. And the coaching staff thinks the same, Anthony. Lewis is red hot. You know, he scored at least 20 points in five of his last six games. So he's been a stud. Ejiofor is just a load. But when you have an elite ball handler who is unflappable, I mean, Anthony, do you ever see Richmond's emotions change?
Never. He's got a lot of Derrick Rose
really
in him.
Trait. He sure does, and that's a really good trait to have on the big dance floor, because you want to have the attitude that nothing's going to get you, because there's going to come a time when somebody goes on a 10-0 run, and you got to be able to answer the bell.
Right.
And that's where I think Richmond turns the water off of people he defends. He can rebound, and he can get deep. You know, this is a guy who can, he can drive the basketball to the rim and finish. So I love Kadari's game, and I think he's the biggest cog to what they end up doing.
Yeah, in the final, he was kind of just what you said. You know, Creighton was making those runs, and it felt like they couldn't buy a bucket, but Richmond, you know, he played strong. He was getting to the rack, and he was getting these buckets when they couldn't find anything. You know, they really didn't get hot until that, you know, 15 minutes left of the game, you know, around that 5 minutes into the second half mark. And it was really him that, you know, weathered the storm at times that I felt was, you know, not a great showing in the beginning, and then it ended up being a complete showing at the end from St. John's. But it felt like to your point, Richmond was the one, the calming force, to say.
He really is, and that's in his DNA. He's a Brooklyn native.
Yes.
He understands the stage. He is unflappable. I think Aaron Scott's also very unsung on this team. 6'7", North Texas transfer. Yep. Another guy who gives relentless effort defensively. Rick Pitino calls him their best defender. And Anthony, when he makes a three, it feels like 4 or 5 points.
Well, and that was another thing. Again, spot on, because in both games, the semis against Marquette and that game against Creighton in the final, he did have some big threes, you know, along with some of their bench pieces. And Richmond really, you know, not to get sidetracked a little bit, it also is a great story because he's a guy I wanted at St. John's when he was getting recruited, and then obviously ended up at Seton Hall. That was his second stop, I believe. I can't remember off the top of my head. But it was a guy I wanted. So for a Brooklyn native to be at the Garden doing what he did in the biggest moment in Big East basketball, it felt special. And I hope that, you know, it has a, you know, a snowball effect where maybe we start to see more of these, specifically Brooklyn kids, stay home. And it was just awesome to see. Being a Brooklyn guy myself, amazing moment. For this team, though, they do have two things that concern me. One being the three-point shot. That doesn't concern me too much because they have shown in big moments the ability to hit it, the three. But with their free throw shooting, which is very concerning, I think from everybody on the team outside of maybe an R.J. Lewis, is this something that they will overcome, or will this be their undoing in the tournament?
I don't think it'll be their undoing. I think that this is a team that is cut out enough to, in the big games, they have been able to knock down threes in key spots. I mean, they went 7 for 14 in the Big East championship game. You know, that this is still a team that has packaged it together throughout the season when you least expect it. The free throw line, look, I can understand that being a legitimate concern, Anthony, because these games, when they're close, you want to be able to step up and make your free throws. But it does feel as though when the lights have gotten brightest, they have still figured out a way to make enough shots and deliver. So I still like this team enough to say, like, I don't get overly concerned because they never let their offense dictate how they defend.
Which is a huge point.
Huge trade. Their best trade is settling into a game. They fell behind 24-9 to Marquette, didn't blink. They fall behind by 8 to Creighton, didn't blink. Imagine what happens if they come out and hit threes. Ironically, Anthony, the one game they've lost since the calendar, this is the other thing. Like, and what I appreciate about you is that you're into St. John's. But I want to give WFAN a lot of credit here. And Anthony, as you know, it sounds like I'm collecting a check from WFAN. I love you guys, but I'm coming on here as a guest to say I appreciate the fact that you guys are covering this story to the degree that you are, because this team has lost one game in the year 2025.
Yeah.
One dang game. In the game, they actually knocked down 11 threes. They knocked down early threes at Villanova, and it painted a false picture of their DNA.
Yeah.
So when people are like, well, they have to knock down threes to beat a great team. No, they don't. They just have to wear teams down defensively, keep attacking the rim, and don't waver in your rebounding. It's there's plenty of teams that win going 4 for 25 from three. We just saw it yesterday. I mean, Michigan, Wisconsin was not a pretty game. You need a timely three here or there. But this team, how do they have 30 wins? And we're going to get back concerned about how they play. They have 30 wins.
That's true. And you know what? I didn't think about it with the Nova game. More what's sticking in my head is the missed free throws against Baylor, you know, the missed free throws in that Creighton loss, which was towards the end of last year. That's really what stuck in my head. I actually never even thought about the Nova game because that's when I felt like they started to make an effort to take more threes, because it wasn't like they couldn't shoot the three early on. It just felt like they weren't settling for it, which, again, is a positive. It just felt like maybe Pitino pushed them a little bit more to take the three ball, not to live and die by it, but that was the game that I thought they changed. You know, they were opened up a little bit, but I never even thought, I didn't see the stat, obviously, that they had hit that many threes. So right now, again, you're doing a lot to boost me up right now, because I'm trying not to get too overconfident, but you're doing a lot to boost me up.
Hey, you know what? Contain Markelle Sutton, who is the Omaha Mavericks star. Omaha out of the Summit League's had a good year. They can score the ball. They average close to 80 points per game, so you can't just keep your foot off the gas. Every team you play in the tournament, treat them with respect.
Yes.
Rick Pitino will, and then you get ready for Bill Self or John Calipari, which is absolute theater this weekend, and I cannot wait.
Yeah, I am fired up. And I guess that's where my next question is, not that we have too much time, how do you feel about the West bracket as it pertains to St. John's? Obviously, we know Florida being there. We can never count UConn out. And then, like you said, you know, Calipari, Bill Self, the big names are there. Maryland's a team that I think is a little bit under talked about. How do you feel about the West region as a whole for St. John's?
Well, it's a region of death for everybody, because it is really, really difficult. You're talking about Florida, who's playing as well as anybody, that has been a wagon behind Walter Clayton and Elijah Martin and defending at a high level. You're talking about Texas Tech, who's lengthy and versatile and could end up giving St. John's as much a test as they get, because they play a lot like St. John's stylistically.
Yeah.
Maryland and Memphis are both tough on the 4 and 5 lines. So both those teams have had a successful season. It's not an easy region at all. And, you know, I'll tell you what, Arkansas is playing their best basketball. They got Boogie Flam back. He's a Stepanak kid and a New York kid, right?
Right.
That has those roots. And I'll tell you what, Kansas, Hunter Dickinson's trying to write his last chapter, and Zeke Mayo is a stud from three. So I'll tell you what, man, Anthony, this is not an easy region by any means. They got stuck in the toughest region in this tournament. But you know what? I don't think Rick Pitino would have it any other way.
Mm-mm.
I think he's up for the challenge. And I actually expect St. John's to get to San Francisco. From there, Texas Tech's going to be tough if it is Texas Tech. But that's why you play the games. It could be utter madness in this region. And the unexpected happens. It happens all the time. Watch out for Drake, the 11th seed, to potentially knock off Missouri and Texas Tech. It could be St. John's Drake for the right to get to the Elite Eight. Right now, you focus on Omaha and you take it from there. But the Kansas's weakness is the three ball.
Yeah, and
their weakness is the three ball. And that actually plays into St. John's hands.
Right, and I'm glad you brought up Drake. I think they're a great story. You know, their coach, I'm not certain of his name, but I know he was the Division II champion, correct? And he brought over a lot of his players from that team and has now had great success with Drake. I mean, 30 wins is nothing to shy home about.
No, not at all. Not at all. Bennett Sturts and Ben McCollum, D2 coach, 4-time national champion at the Division II level, has had a tremendous career and run, and he goes over to Drake, and they've had a sensational season. Sturts is averaging around 20 a game. They play extremely efficiently. They actually play the slowest tempo in college basketball. That would give St. John some issues. You know why? They don't turn the ball over, and they can shoot a lot of threes and make a lot of threes. So I think St. John's would be too athletic for a Drake. To me, the biggest concern for St. John's would be a Sweet 16 game against Texas Tech. Like, if you get Florida in the Elite Eight, Anthony, I think you'd sign up for that right now.
Obviously. That's the goal. Get there and deal with them then. And you know, I guess I'm sure you've given this – I have a couple more questions. I'm sure you've given this 100 times. You've already said you could see St. John's getting to San Francisco. I'm kind of in the boat. I can't make a prediction of – obviously, I'll fill out my bracket, but for me, looking at them as a fan, I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, I definitely think they'll beat Florida and Texas Tech. Who do you have in your Final Four as we wrap up the bracket?
Well, I'm going to go with Michigan State, Tom Izzo in year 30.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's got what it takes. They're so sound defensively. Jace Richardson's a star. I'm going to go with St. John's.
Let's go.
I'm going to go with St. John's, and then I'm going to go with Duke and Houston.
And you know what's interesting about Houston? I feel like Houston is, St. John's is almost Houston-like to an extent. I feel like what everything St. John's does, Houston does, and, you know, has been doing it for a few years, so it feels like a little bit more of a track record there. The one thing I wanted to wrap up with, because I know you're a Seton Hall alum, obviously you cover the Big East, two more questions. One, how do you feel about UConn going into the tournament just to keep it locally? Do you think they can make a run, or, you know, even if they win the first game, Florida is too tall of a task for them?
I just think that UConn, as much as they are a tremendous three-point shot-making team with Liam McNeely, Alex Caravan, and with a Bulldog point guard in Hassan Diarra, solo ball as well, I just don't think they have the front line to contain Alex Condon, Thomas Hogg, Ruben Chinyelu, and I think that the Gators would be too much on the glass. They're just too strong defensively and too athletic for UConn. I think Florida will move on. I think UConn, look, they're a victim of their own success, Anthony. They've had an unbelievable two-year run. They just didn't have elite rim protection or point guard play, and that's what's held them back.
John, thank you so much. Hope maybe we get you on later in the tournament. I appreciate the time. John Fanta, Fox Sports, NBC Sports. Thanks so much, John.
Anthony, anytime. Let's enjoy the madness. You do a great job. Thanks for having me.
I appreciate it.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omicid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.